Wine Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Our book comes out tomorrow.
That's crazy.
So excited.
Tomorrow.
So excited. And we're going to celebrate it. So we have an announcement. We're doing a live show next month. It's called Unwine.
With us.
With us, obviously. To celebrate the release of The Good Fight. It's going to be October 5th, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. You can get your tickets on, it's TIXR.com. And I'll do some swipe ups on my page right now so you can get the tickets. But we're so excited. We're going to have live, it's going to be a live Q&A, performances, a couples panel. Like, we're just, all the tears, all the laughs, all the drama that you just love on here.
That you've come to love and respect.
Come to love on here. Oh, but I'm so pumped. What are you most nervous about with the book coming out tomorrow?
I mean, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot where, you know, we put so much into this because it is so personal. Like, this is the most personal thing we've done, even more so than this podcast, mm-hmm. where it's like, you know, you do your films, and if they don't do necessarily well or don't get good feedback, obviously you'll take it personally or other things that we've done. But this is like the thing.
So that's kind of, I'm just like hearing you say that, that's kind of why I was so afraid to do music. Because I'm like, with movies and auditions, I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, they didn't like my character. It's not like a personal thing. But like with music, it's like, it's my voice.
Yeah.
It's me. Yeah, yeah. So like, I totally see what you're saying. Because it hurts more when someone's like, oh, her voice sounds like the piglet from Titanic or whatever. I don't know.
Right. And that's where, you know, again, we take such pride that we wrote every word in this book. So if there are critics and there are people that don't like it, this took a lot of man hours, a lot of
sweat, tears, and sweat, arguments,
tears, and probably blood at some point, you know? So it's just very personal to us. We've both taken a lot of pride in it. We have big goals with this book, big expectations because of how much work we've put into it. So, you know, I've voiced this a lot to you. I really want to be New York Times bestseller. I really do. And I hope all of you listening can help us achieve that. But
it would it's a good goal.
It's a good goal.
It's a good goal. Fingers crossed.
All or nothing.
Yeah. No, that's exciting though.
What are you most excited / nervous about?
What I'm nervous for is actually I was having a conversation with Hillary Burton, who's amazing. She has her Rural Diaries that just came out a few months ago, and I had posted something on Instagram last night because I feel like when you go through, like, you know, on Instagram it's just like everything's all positive, and sometimes it's hard to live up to that when you're in a negative space or in an emotional state. Mm-hmm. And obviously last night we had a date night gone wrong. It was a fight night, not a date night.
Fight night.
Fight night. And so I ended up leaving I didn't say any of that on Instagram. I just basically said today sucked. Like, it was just a bad day. Like, I feel like marriage-wise, it was bad. Friendship-wise, it was bad. You know, like,
yeah,
we heard some bad news from, like, you know, our therapist found out his cancer's back. Like, it was just a bad day. It was just like a heavy day. And it was just like an emotional day. And then, you know, we didn't do things right. And, you know, I ended up leaving the movie theater. Like, after my direct quote at dinner was, just please shut the fuck up and let's just eat your food and just stop talking. Because, we probably should never even gone on the date because we were like fighting earlier that day. But Hillary reached out to me. So basically I put something on Instagram and I just was like, today just sucked. And I think it's okay. And I think it's good to express those moments because there's got to be someone else that is having a sucky day. Mm-hmm. And so, how I heal is like expressing it to know that I'm not alone. So, which is like with this book, you know, it's like, I want to know that like, we're not the only ones that went through this and to help like normalize it for other people. Mm-hmm. But my fear and what Hillary reached out to me, she on the side texted me was like, hey, are you good? Like, I saw your post. And I'm like, yeah, it was just a really crappy day. And, you know, we didn't do things right in front of the kids and we argued. And it's like, that was sitting really heavy with me. And so what she basically, and I said, you know, we've got this book coming out and I feel like kind of like a fraud. And I'm like, how can I be saying to do this when I didn't do it right the other day and he didn't do it right the other day? And so that's where like I'm nervous, because I'm just like, I feel sometimes where I'm like a fraud in a sense. Mm. And, you know, she affirmed that she's like, oh my gosh, I felt the same thing like right before my book come out. She's like, how am I saying like to be positive and to be happy, but yet like I'm depressed because of the pandemic and this and the anxiety. So it was just nice to like have a conversation with someone that understands that it's not like just because we, and that's what like I've realized. Like, so I was nervous because I'm like, because we don't do it perfect. But from talking to Hillary, it was just, it's okay. Like, these are still just things that we've learned. We've never said that we're perfect at them.
Right, for sure.
But I don't know. No. So that's what I'm like nervous about, just because I'm sometimes like, what if we fail? And that scares me. I'm like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be, you know, sometimes, but then again, I look at Rachel Hollis and her husband, like they have a thing together and, you know, obviously they got divorced, and I'm not trying to think that, but I'm just like, I guess I'm just scared. It's like a lot of pressure, because to be that vulnerable, and then if we don't work, because here's, and this is another example, I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole, sorry. When we were going through everything, I'm like, I need a book that I can believe in a couple. And mm-hmm. I remember reading Love Warrior by Glennon Doyle. And I was like, that book was like, that was the one book that got close enough that I'm like, oh my God, we can do this. We'll be okay. But then when I'm reading it, I found out that she's in with Abby Wambach and now she's a lesbian and this is her true calling. And that's amazing. Like, I was so happy for her, but I was so upset because I'm like, oh my God, see, Mike and I aren't going to work out. Mm. Like, I like lost hope and I stopped reading it because it was, there wasn't the success story that I wanted a success story.
Right.
And so my fear is that what if something happens and then let's say we end up getting divorced, well, where's the success for the person that reads this book? Like, I don't want that same thing to happen. So I guess that's like my grand fear. Cause I'm like, I want someone to have hope.
Yeah.
Like I really want that. And it, like, it makes me sad to think about, cause I'm like, I don't want to be the reason for someone to lose hope. Mm-hmm. The way that like I did when I was reading Glennon's book. Mm-hmm. So,
that's,
sorry.
No, that's, I mean, that's deep and that's real. It's an understandable fear, and it's
a lot of pressure too.
It is pressure. We're setting an expectation.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we say numerous times, like a broken record in the book, we're not the experts. These are certain things that have worked for us. And I can see how, from the outside looking in, like if I'm reading books, like when I read that Love and Respect book that I talked about so much, mm-hmm. yeah, I would probably, if I met those people, met that author, I would probably have high expectations that he would be that way 99.9% of the time.
Yeah. And what if you found out that he was like a wife beater and like right. he just got divorced? Like right. you're like, what?
Yeah. I mean, you know, unfortunately, that's one of those things when you put yourself out there, that you walk that line. And for us, all that we can do is we know that we wrote this book from a wholehearted, genuine place, mm-hmm. that we are putting forth our best efforts to do the things that we talk about in this book, and that we're not perfect. And so we can't, you know, foresee the future. We don't know, but what we do know is that if we stay on the path of the things that we talk about in the book, that'll set us up for success. Mm-hmm. And looking back, if we don't, say we don't work out, we'll know it's because we didn't do the things consistently that we talk about in our book. Mm-hmm. So there will be a reason. It's not like, oh, the things in our book caused us to get divorced.
Right.
It would be, no, it would be because we didn't do those things.
No, I mean, that's a, you know, that's a really, you know, that example's really good, because that just shows that, you know, we have to keep tuning too, you know, and we're all ever growing and.
Oh, it's consistent, constant, consistent work.
But I'm excited because I just, you know, again, I love like the fact that we might be able to help people, and then, you know, to be able to unwind with people, they're mm-hmm. going to get all this conversation. October 5th, you can get your tickets again at TIXR.com. And I'm pumped to just have open conversations and yeah, I'm just excited to do a show. I can't wait.
No, it's going to be so much fun. And today,
you guys all get the book, so pre-order the book. Make Mike's dreams come true about being a number one bestseller. I mean, yeah, or the bestsellers list.
Yes, please. let's take a break, and then I have a few topics I want to touch on.
Awesome, and so excited because Terry Bradshaw, well, Terry and Tammy are coming on, but Terry Bradshaw, like, failure to launch. Like,
legends.
I love him.
Legends.
But see, I know him from, like, acting, not from football. so excited to talk to them, too. They've got a new show coming out on E! Called The Bradshaw Bunch. So let's take a break, and let's get to the topics and then our awesome guests.
So I had two topics that came to mind yesterday.
I love it. Let's hear it.
Okay. First one, which would be a quicker topic, is I was getting in the car and my phone was in my pocket and I was trying to get it out. And I had, like, gym shorts on. And, you know, if you have, like, a rubber case or leather case around your phone, it's impossible to get it out of your shorts, that, like, gym shorts, because it, like, sticks. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, mother effer, like, come on. And I get it out. I'm like, why can't, like, belt loop clips for phones be a thing again?
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Like, bring that back. Right, Easton? Come on.
I was a big fan of those. When I had a Sidekick, I had a belt
huge
loop.
Huge fan.
And it was like, I called it my holster. And I was a big fan of that thing.
Listen, Lisa, well, now it's Nowiki, listens to this podcast. And she, to this day, still sends me the photo of all of us. And I had just, you know, gone to California. I thought it was so cool. I had my little Nokia or whatever, the one that did the ding-ding. Like the
talkback
thing.
Oh, the walkie-talkie.
It was the flip thing. It was the flip phone, and it was the Next.
Like Nextel?
The Nextel.
Nextel chirp. Yeah.
So I had the Nextel. I thought it was so cool coming back from LA. And to this day, she still sends me that stupid photo with me. I had my phone clip. I had, like, this, like, kind of crop top on, and I have a phone clip in my little whatever, that phone, on my, like, on the clip. I was the only one that had it on, and to this day, she still makes fun of me for it.
She knocks you down a peg.
No, I do not. Yeah, she keeps me, like, real, like, humble. She's like...
That's what childhood friends are supposed to do.
Yeah. But I'm like, all my other girls look so cute, and I'm like, you need to burn that photo and stop sending
it
to me.
But it's so convenient.
So is my bandolier thing that I have around my... that I always wear now. But everyone makes fun of me because they think that I'm...
going somewhere.
Going
I
every
think
time.
You're going somewhere.
Well, I would think you're going somewhere, too, if you clip that thing on you.
I'm
that would drive
saying,
me crazy. I mean, my dad still has a clip, but I mean,
I love
that's
it.
Like
envious. I think maybe once I hit 40, maybe 45, then I'll start doing it again, because maybe I'll be of age to be like, ah, he's just a dad. Like, whatever. We're not gonna pay him any mind.
Are you gonna wear the clip on your basketball shorts, like on the elastic? Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I have not seen.
That's my biggest thing. I don't have an issue really with jeans. It's literally because I wear gym shorts every single day, all day. And so I just want to clip it on there.
I cannot. No. I mean, hey, you do you though. I mean,
anyways.
I, you know, not
hey,
many people
look,
like my.
Look, fanny packs made a comeback. Did they not? You even talked about getting one.
I did.
Yes. So what's the difference?
I actually think I have one.
I have a couple fanny packs. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
I think they work great when you're wearing basketball shorts. They're perfect for that.
Exactly.
Or when you're at Disney World, Easton.
Exactly. When I'm in the parks.
Let me get into the other topic that requires a little bit more discussion. What would be, I'm going to ask both of you, Jan and Easton, your first date deal breaker?
Oh, I know. It's kind of a crappy thing, but I'll let Easton go first.
Okay.
First date deal breakers.
I mean, like, do we want to be like Seinfeld level, like she eats her peas one at a time, or like is it
whatever it is, that could be the thing.
Because I mean, I guess if she like started like if she was like an outward racist or something like that, like something like or like I have killed before, I will kill again, or like she says something like that, that's a deal breaker. But I guess if we're getting down to the minutiae, I went on a date with a girl once, and she said, "I really don't like the Cheesecake Factory." Like, she just said that like out of the blue.
How can you not like the
and
Cheesecake
you, don't
Factory?
Don't you have like a Cheesecake Factory shirt?
I have a lot of Cheesecake Factory merchandise, and I'm a I'm a big fan. And I'm like, this is not going to work. I'm sorry. Like, there's got to be something remarkable to bank it through something like this. So that's mine.
I love it. Jana?
I mean, so two things. The first thing, which would be the number one thing, is that if he didn't ask questions. So if it was just kind of a, you know, the people that you have conversations with, you're like, oh, okay, so like, where are you from? And they're like, and then they don't reciprocate a question back. Like, that would be hard to have a conversation with someone. Like, I wouldn't want to have a second date with someone that's not interested in my life and stuff. And then also, if they ask to split the check, I can't. Gives me anxiety. I would rather pay for it, but like, I guess I'm old school in that fashion. Like, I would, because it happened one time. I went on a date with a guy. We went to the that garlic thing on Los Angeles. What was that called? The garlic rose.
Oh, the stinking rose.
The stinking rose. Yeah. And he's like, okay, so do you just want to split it? And I'm like, no. I'll get it. I got it.
That makes me so uncomfortable.
And so I don't know. It just, you know me, like I hate splitting bills. I'd rather just get the bill every single time. But it would be nice for the guy to offer to pay for it if it's a date. Like, I guess I'm just old school in that way. Like, I don't know. That's just my thing. What about you?
I think you're right in that aspect. A guy should pay. Well, especially on the first date.
I cannot imagine saying like, hey, we're going Dutch on this? Or
yeah.
Like,
that's,
it feels
like
insane.
Even just with our friends, like, you know how uncomfortable that I'm just like, we're getting it. Like, I just don't like splitting bills. Or being like, okay, so you had this and then I had
it. It makes me so uncomfortable. That's why I'd be like, look, we got this one, y'all get next.
Yeah. What would be yours, babe?
Mine. So I get what you're saying about the question thing, but something came up for me when you said that is, if I was on a date and all they did was ask questions, where I'm like, I like to let the, I want to know that the conversation can flow, that questions can naturally come up and not feel like, you know, maybe they're nervous or whatever, fine, but not feel like I'm being interrogated by questions. You know me and questions.
No,
but it's,
you
like,
know what I mean.
But like, I do know what you mean, but I want like a natural flow. But I definitely know what you mean. That just came up for me in the instant. But my biggest thing would have to be like rude, like manners and rudeness to like the wait staff or or anybody that wherever that was working, wherever we went on a date. If they were rude or like bitched and complained about something, then that would, especially on a first date, that would instantly be like, nope.
So what if they sent like a plate back and was like, oh, like, you know, it's just, she got a steak that was medium, but it was medium rare. And she's like, oh, it's like, I need to send this back. Like, would that,
that's close to
a red flag?
Yes. That's close to a deal breaker. If now,
but what if she's like, it's bleeding. The steak is bleeding.
And this is where it's all about,
like, you know me, I would just eat it.
For like, sure. It's all about the approach to the situation. If they're able to have a sense of humor about it and be like, damn, this steak is mooing. I got to send this back. Can you eat it? You know what I mean? Like, just have some kind of humor around it.
So, I'm sorry if a girl was like, yo, this steak is, like, bleeding, man. Like, that's how you want her to say
it. No, I'm just saying, I don't want it to come across as, like, entitlement. Be like, excuse me, this is too red for me. Yeah. I can't eat this. Like, this is unacceptable. Like, I'd be like, all right, see ya. You're paying. I'm out. Like, I can't handle that rudeness. I want someone that's cool, that has a sense of humor, that can laugh about a situation.
No, I love that.
And even if they complain, it's in a laughable sense, at least early on.
I mean, I think our date last night would have been a deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm interested in what happened.
Oh, you know.
That's in book two.
Oh, wow. No, a good fight, just, rematch.
Yeah, rematch.
Remix. No, remix.
It was just a day. It was just a day.
It's interesting. No, it's a good topic, though. I mean, you might be going on a new first date soon, so you might want to get up on that. Get up on your manners.
Knock some rust off. So anyways, I thought that was an interesting topic because it's been a long time since we've had first dates.
Yeah, It has.
Did I do anything on our first date that bothered you?
I'm trying to think. There's something at the sushi restaurant that you did.
Really?
Yeah. And now I can't remember what it was, but it was something. And I remember going like, huh.
Huh.
Huh. Did I?
Yes and no. It was when we were walking through the zoo and you kept calling the lion a tiger.
Well.
And it was like.
It's hard to differentiate.
No, it's not. And yeah, she's like,
they're pretty easy
hey,
to tell.
Tiger, tiger, tiger. And I'm like, you're so cute and pretty. That's a lion. Like, I know you're just effing with me. She's like, no, that's a tiger. I'm like, you're so funny. No, it's a lion. She's like, no, really, it's a tiger. I'm like, wait, what's going on? Am I being punked? Like, I didn't know what. And I realized she was serious. But it also felt like she was messing with me. So I was like, I just kind of brushed it off. So I was like, eh, okay.
So knowledge of big cats is almost a deal breaker for you.
Knowledge almost. Of you better come fully you prepared come, your first
you better,
day.
You better be Carol Baskin, just yeah. Like cheetah prince and all. Mm-hmm. Like, well, that's a whatever kind of tiger line. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Do you have any first date deal breakers?
Well, I haven't been on a first date in 23 years. But
what would one be?
Let's just say if you were.
Smoking was a big one.
Oh. Mm. Have you ever smoked?
Never.
Huh.
But you know, we were talking about this the other day on a different show. A guy will put up with a lot if she's hot enough. Like, it's a deal breaker, but if she reaches a certain level of hotness, you're like, she's smoking. It's okay.
I kind of hear you on that. I kind because there was like, there mm-hmm. was someone who I was... should not have dated longer than a minute, but he was real cute. And I was like, okay. But 2 months later, I was like, okay, now I really can't. But it is interesting where I think there are certain yeah. things where you can like, you can maybe handle it.
Women definitely have more deal breakers than men, I think, in general. Like, Jana and Mike asked me what my deal breakers were, and I had pretty much one. And other than that, it was like... I will put up with anything. If you're going on a date with me, like you're putting up with a lot.
As long as you like the Cheesecake Factory, you're
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we're good. Like, it's going to take a lot to for this to not work out. So,
I mean, that makes sense though, because men probably are able to, you know, I make up with the stereotype that women go into a date being asking the questions, could I marry this person? Could I have kids? What would our kids, you know? Typically, maybe that happens. Mm-hmm. Men, not so much. So men, their deal breaker happens like, I'll just sleep with them and just go on. And maybe some women might have a harder time with that. Others might be like, I'll just sleep with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I only did that once.
And that was me. Now look at us.
Oy vey. All right, guys, let's take a break. And so excited to have Terry and Tammy Bradshaw on the show. So we'll be back. Okay, so fill me in on, because I know Terry the actor. I know Terry, and I know that he also played, but what team? Like, I don't know, like, the football aspect of it.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Steelers.
Such a surprise.
It is. That seems like a little shock. How long did he play there?
A long time. His entire career.
Really? He doesn't seem like a Steeler to me.
Hall of Fame.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Roethlisberger.
Hall of Fame quarterback. Okay, back in the 70s, like, immaculate reception. Franco Harris those days. Super Bowl winner. Multiple Super Bowl wins.
With the Steelers?
With the Steelers.
Four of them.
Four.
Did Ben take his spot?
No, that's way after.
Oh, okay.
Ben came in the league in 2004.
Oh, okay. That's so funny. I don't see him. Like, if I was to pick a team for Terry, I would have picked the Broncos. Like, he seems like a Bronco player to me.
Tell him that.
He probably wouldn't like that.
I want to see his reaction. No, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I think of, like, Steelers, and they just seems a little, like, he's too funny for the Steelers. He's too funny. You know?
That's funny.
He's such a good actor.
He's a legend. He does it all. He's been on Fox NFL Sunday for years. I mean, the career that he's had post, you know, post professional football has been amazing.
Have you ever met him before?
I have not.
Are you super excited?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Like, what's like, what are you going to ask him? Do you have your questions ready?
Shooting from the hip, baby. You know me.
I'm just going to be like, how is Matthew McConaughey's Sarah Jessica Parker in Failure to Launch? That movie's so good.
It's a great movie.
I'm actually really excited for their show, 2 on E, The Bradshaw Bunch. Mm-hmm. It's 9 p.m.
Is it taking place in the Kardashians slot?
It
starts after the Kardashians, but I know the Kardashians are coming off, aren't they?
That was a very sad day, and I'm not ready to talk about it yet. Because I love them.
You know they're going to be playing their show like on repeat on E still.
It's not the same. But I mean, I assume that that's one of the shows taking its spot.
It's so. Like the Sex and the City of reality TV. So
absolutely.
Right. So you guys are like, women will turn on Sex and the City and be like, oh, this is the episode that Samantha did this and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do the same thing. Oh, this is where Chloe says that the duck stole duck lips from her.
Duck lips.
Just saying.
You guys, welcome to the show, Terry and Tammy Bradshaw.
Yeah.
What's up?
How are you guys?
We're tired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, filming a show is tiring. Then you got to promote.
Well,
and it's a whole week. And you go to, I mean, every afternoon I've been going to bed at 5:45, 6:00. I just told her before we came on, I got a headache already.
Mr. Positivity.
No, oh, yeah. No, I'm just talking. It's nonstop. No. I mean, it's all part of it. I enjoy it, but it's.
No, after for a while, sure.
You get a little tired of you. You know what I mean? Not you, but you.
But I mean, you're surrounded by women. So I can imagine that's exhausting and a headache in itself. Like, I mean, I'm a woman and I can say, like, I know I give my husband a headache. Like,
no,
I know
never,
that I.
Sweetheart.
So it's like.
No. When the girls are here, they take care of me and fuss over me and worry about me. I enjoy that. So they're pretty, they're low maintenance now for sure. Yeah.
Well, that's,
and Tammy takes care of me, so it's good.
I mean, I love you, Tammy. You put up with a lot, and I can't wait to see exactly what you're putting up with. But before we get to the show, Mike played 5 years in the NFL, so I'm going to let you ask Terry a few NFL questions because I know you're itching, and you're obviously a legend, sir. So, So go ahead, baby.
First of all, my sweet wife. You know, she was focused more on, she's like, I love Failure to Launch.
It's my favorite. I love you. And it was so
she wants
good.
To go talking about that. She's like, I was like, he's in the NFL, honey. She's like, I know, but what team? I was like, Steelers. She's like, really? He doesn't look like a Steeler. I said, what team do you think he looks like? She's like, I don't know, like Broncos?
Yeah, like you look like a Bronco to me. I don't know. Like, I would have imagined a Bronco. Like,
so I was like, okay.
Steelers just seem so mean.
I can top that story.
Oh.
Please let me hear it. Let's
hear that first. Please stop it.
I grew up watching football. It was always a big deal on Sunday. And
she's a Missouri lady, Kansas City Chiefs.
So, how convenient.
I do not ever remember watching the Pittsburgh Steelers or Terry Bradshaw play, which is bad enough in itself. But then when we first met, we'd been dating about 3 months. And every time I would go to his house, I would see number 12 on the gate, number 12 on the boxes in the living room, other places, number 12 everywhere. So finally, after 3 months, I finally said, what's up with number 12? No idea that was his football number.
Never. Well, we do have an age difference, but I since have I gave the, it was a Circle 12. It was the name of my ranch for 28 years. And then I got tired of people shooting stuff that had Circle 12 on it, cowboy fans, and go down with your horse trailer and park it, and you get keyed in the. So I took all of the Circle 12 and gave it to my daughter. So now she has all the Circle 12.
Good
my
rings.
Ranch is just we're just Terry Bradshaw quarter horses here, and TB is Tammy Terry. So it actually turned out that was a good smart move by me.
But she had no clue.
That's fantastic. No clue. And where do you guys guys live right now?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
You can't find it. You can't Google us because we're too small. We're ranchers, and we're right on the Red River.
Challenge accepted. I'll be like, hi guys.
In the middle of nowhere. Yeah, we can walk out on the back porch tonight and see the lights from downtown Gainesville, Texas. So we're just 1.5 miles of the crow fly from Texas.
That's awesome. Is that where you guys are shooting the show as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we had no choice. We couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, true. We started filming February.
Yeah. And okay. We traveled a little bit for the first few weeks.
Traveled around here, not around the country. We went to
DC for one episode.
And then that was it. And everything was just shot on the ranch. You know, it was pretty pretty restrictive. Everybody's wearing masks. It was just not a comfortable situation. Made it hard on the production company, made it hard on E. But because of the personalities in the family and the grandkids, I haven't seen any of it other than what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks funny. I mean, I hope it's funny. I hope it's the funniest thing we've ever seen in a long time, because this country right now needs some laughter.
Yes, you know? Lord knows we need it. And was that something that you guys have always kind of talked about doing, or did E come to y'all and pitch you guys about the idea?
No,
we never talked about that. Mm-mm. No, we never planned that. It came out of the blue. They mm-hmm. came to us.
Yeah. What? Actually, the guy that was the executive producer of Better Late Than Never on NBC for 2 years, Jason Ehrlich, came to my 70th birthday party and saw the interaction between the three girls, Tammy and myself. And he came to me and he said, oh my God, they're funny. And he says, there's a show here somewhere. And I said, yeah, you know what? You're probably right. There is a show here, but you know, you don't want to be so vain as to say, well, I'm Terry Bradshaw. Of course we're going to have a show.
For sure.
It just doesn't work like that. And then, so we talked over the phone. We worked up an outline for the show. And then we went and pitched it to, were you with us when we pitched it to E?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember a lot right now. But so we went and pitched it to E, and we didn't hardly get out of there good. They wanted the show.
Wow.
And shot a pilot. They loved the pilot, and away we go. You know how it is.
So, Terry, you've been obviously a public face for years. What can people who have always been fans of yours, like myself and other people that follow you, you know, people that might not, like, I'm not a big reality show watcher, but because it's you and Tammy and your family, I'm like, okay, like, I'll give it a shot. What can people expect to see that they haven't seen from you and your family?
Well, they really will see behind the scenes. I mean, I know I'm a loudmouth and a big personality. And when the camera's on, I love to entertain. I love to make people feel good. Always have. And so they're going to see it's predominantly 90% funny, just funny. And then we have moments. You just naturally have moments. We're a family.
Mm-hmm.
The first scene is about my daughter getting her breast enlarged. That's hilarious.
Rachel?
Aaron.
Oh, Aaron. Okay.
Aaron. And so, you know, you just don't go there.
Right.
But I do.
That's why you're you, Terry. That's why we love you.
And then we have we have little Zuri, who's just a scene stealer and smart, cocky attitude, snappy wit. She's hilarious. And so you're going to see, you'll see a lot of love, a lot of fatherly advice, motherly advice. And then you'll just see a lot of chaos. It's just, I hope, like I said, we have not seen it.
No.
We're not watching tonight because my wife doesn't want to watch it. So
I was there when it happened. I don't need to watch.
So we'll watch. We'll wait. It'll be run, and the kids are all having parties in Hawaii. And Lacey's in Hawaii. Aaron and Rachel are in Dallas and Denton, Texas, and they've got big parties going on. So I don't think I've got to worry about getting a report.
Well, I think it's great though, because you are going to be spreading a lot of laughter, and that's what people need right now. And, you know, because we are a relationship based show, you know, obviously you've been married before a few times. What have you learned in this marriage that, you know, what are you laughing at?
It's just wrong. It's true, but don't say it like that.
I've been married before, too.
Well, we know you've been married a few times. And
I have. You know what, Terry? I have, too. I've been married twice before this dude.
Oh, my God.
So I hear you. I see you.
Tammy, I'm not embarrassed by it anymore. I'm ashamed of it. I'm ashamed that I've Tammy says, you didn't make mistakes. I say I made huge mistakes.
You call them failures.
Failures.
I don't. Mm-hmm. I call them stepping stones. You learn something through that process to get you to where you are today.
Don't walk on the rocks that I stumbled on.
Yeah. I don't think you can look at it as a failure.
Anyway, you know, and thank God my kids were young enough that I could love them through it. Mm-hmm. And to this day, in their 30s now, and my greatest fear was they would do something, and I'm at fault because I wasn't there as a dad to love them. And they know how much I love them. I show them all the time, and they tell me, you know, Dad, you know, you're the greatest dad. You're the greatest dad. And I'm just like, oh, thank the Lord, thank you. I was so worried about that.
But you are, and I'm going to interrupt you, because the one of the things that attracted me to him as the relationship grew was his relationship with his kids. Even though they were divorced, there was not he was on the phone with them almost every day. And I mean, they were still young. He was so connected to those girls the whole time they were growing up. It's easy for dads who are divorced, I see it all the time, to walk out the door, leave the wife. But then the kids get left too. They drift apart and they have no connection. But you never let that connection break.
I tried not to, you know, even though you've got some bitterness between you and and their mother, I didn't ever bring that up. Ever.
That's awesome.
And I isolated myself from her too. Mm-hmm. I just stayed away. I didn't. And if there was ever a demand, well, the kids want to do this. Do they really want to do that? But I just went along with it because it wasn't worth the war. And now my kids have told me things that happened back then and how they appreciated the way I approached it. And I'm like, God, I finally did something right here.
With you and Tammy though, what's like y'all's win? Like to you as a couple, like what are things that you do really well together in relation?
In the relationship, pretty much everything.
So you have it all figured out then. That's amazing. You know, well, tell us more.
I got to tell you something. I finally learned that your wife should really be your best friend. We do everything together. We work out together. We fish together. We golf together. We actually will start something and the other one's like, oh, I was just about to say that. Mm-hmm. And that happens so much. It's just scary. But we are totally in sync as the two of us. And the only thing, I'm just going, oh.
Sounds like us, honey. What are you talking about?
We dated a long time. The only thing I didn't know, number one, in 12 years of dating, never once said, okay, where's this relationship going?
I never said it.
Never said it. Are we getting married? Never brought up, not one time, which I'm thinking, okay, where's this, you know, is she this, you know? So I'm thinking, you know, and the way we got married was I just walked by her until we get married on Tuesday. This was Saturday. I said, we get married Tuesday. We got married Tuesday. And we just kept on going with our lives. The only thing I didn't know about her, the only thing, she's liberal. That's it. Politically, we have so many discussions about politics. I mean, a lot. And I grew up. I'm straight Republican. When I moved to Florida, people said you can't register independent, but that's not true. I did. And so I've stayed independent, but more of a conservative. But here in the last 4 years with Trump being his president, it's been some of the greatest discussions we've ever had. So I didn't know that she was a liberal. And I believe because I like to see the good of both.
I'm leaning.
It's not that big. She's happy on that, you know.
I would call myself a liberal.
Well,
I'm less conservative than you, but yeah. I do register as a Democrat, but I'll vote for a Republican if I feel they're the best person. I'm never just stuck on one issue, but I do probably lean that way more than you do. Right?
You tell me.
Tammy, let me ask you this, because we have a lot of couples and women that listen to the show too. And right. With you waiting 12 years, you know, of dating throughout that, what were you telling yourself? Because I make up that a lot of people in that situation would be like, hey, where's the ring? What are we doing? I know when Jana and I bought a house together, we bought a house. I moved to a different state for her. She was like, okay, so we playing house or we getting married? I was like, I guess we're getting married. So well, I understand that that's there. Like, what were you thinking? Like, what was your thought process through that?
Well, I think one thing, it's easier when you're in our age bracket,
mm-hmm.
than when you're younger. One, I had a job I loved, and I was happy to continue that job as long as I could. I was raising my kids already, so I didn't need to get married and have a family. And I mean, I was happy and pretty self-sufficient. I could provide for and take care of myself and my kids. So not that any woman needs to get married, mm-hmm. but all those things were outside the box. So we had a great relationship. He treated me all that time like I was the one special woman, which was what was most important to me. And I did always, somewhere down inside, I always knew we would get married.
Mm-hmm.
But the one I knew about Terry, it would be like on our ranch here, if you walk out into the pasture where all the horses are scattered out, if you start going towards them or chasing them, they're gonna run away. But if you stand still, they will always come to you. And that's exactly how I treated our relationship. And he always came.
What a fantastic message.
I got voted. Every time I got really close in the 12 years, I knew I had the woman, but I was coming off of a bad divorce, mm-hmm. and I determined that's it for me, Jack.
He did tell me in the very beginning, yeah. I don't know if I'll ever get married yeah. again. So he had set an expectation, so it's not like I was dealing with something I didn't know.
And I felt, and the other reason we dated so long was she was very comfortable, as you just heard her say. She had a great job. She's making a nice, really nice living. And she's very secure. She didn't need some.
I was just going to say, she didn't need you. She just wanted you. Yeah.
If it came and happened, that's fulfillment. That enhances your life, because no one can make anybody happy. That's up to you. And mm-hmm. the minute I would say to myself, this relationship, I'm out of it. I would bolt. Now I'd be gone. 3 weeks, 2 months.
You'd be bolt because why? What are you saying?
I'd bolt.
Because why?
Because we would get. Because
you were about to take that step.
Yeah. I couldn't trust myself. You know, when you've been divorced 3 times, you don't trust yourself.
Yeah.
I had done 3 years of counseling, and I knew I had to break a cycle of women choosing, which is in your DNA and whatever. And that's a hard thing to do. I was scared. I knew I had a great woman. I even convinced myself, well, if I'm not in love with her, it doesn't really matter. I love her, mm-hmm. and she's a great woman. I could deal with, you know, that's great. It's better than what I've had. Of course, I was in love with her, and it was just easier just, let's get married, not get on your knee,
right.
no ring, let's get married. And so that's what we did.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. She's a pretty confident woman. And she said to me, and this may have held up this getting married. She said, I always get what I want.
I love you.
I said, yes. Well, if I had big hooters and a gorgeous face and a body, yeah, I could say that too.
That's amazing. That sounds a lot like you, honey. Like, you're going to stand your ground. But I love that because I feel like no matter what period of life you're in, it's like what ultimately happened is y'all's love and mutual respect for each other was all you needed. Mm-hmm. You didn't need anything else. It was just like you love each other, you respect each other. The rest will take care of itself. And I feel like no matter how old we are, what stage in life, like that can prevail if we allow it to. Mm-hmm. And let me, I'm going to shift gears real quick, Terry, and talk about football for a second because I am interested in your professional opinion when it comes to the handling of how things have happened this year with coronavirus, with, you know, equality and everything.
Social justice.
Social injustice, everything like that. Like, where are you with that? Do you think Goodell's done a good job? Do you support the players? Kind of like, where's your heart at?
Who's Goodell? Well, sorry.
The commissioner.
Yeah, okay.
As Tammy said, I tend to look at both sides and take the good from both and the bad from both. Mm-hmm. It's always there. The social injustice is prevalent, it's real, and it's being addressed by the professional athletes, and as it should be, and it needs to continue to grow. All right, there's so many people out there that are saying this will have an apex and then it'll go down and the players get on with they've got to keep the pressure on. If they back off, then it loses all the greatness that they've done, all the impact that they've had, all the movement that's moving forward and is important. But if they back off, if they get lax, then all that great effort goes to naught. And so that, to me, you've got to believe in what you're doing and stay forward. I have to bite my tongue so many times because of what I do to make a living.
For sure.
And if I say some of the things I want to say, I realize I'll hurt my family. But it's not, I totally support all the black and brown people in the world, all the athletes, no matter what their race and religion, whatever. I totally support them. The thing about the kneeling for the national anthem, they still don't get it. They still think it's a protest against the anthem. How can they not? I mean, even my brother, a college educated guy, I'm never going to watch their protest the anthem. No, they're not protesting the anthem. It's during the anthem. And the greatest amount of awareness is when Colin Kaepernick took a knee.
Yep.
But they all said it's during the anthem. It's not against the anthem. Now, do I wish there was another way of doing it? Absolutely. But look at the impact that it's had. It's caused Colin Kaepernick to be blackballed from the NFL. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no other way to say it than that. So I think the social injustice, a major issue. We addressed it on Fox, and after Michael and Howie and then I talked briefly, they were all worried. It's so funny. I guess it's because I'm from the South. They're all going to me, TB, you don't have to say anything in this. Well, what am I going to say? Am I going to get on there and just talk about go down, boy? You know what I'm talking about? Don't you some bitch. I mean, tell you. I'm like, well, that's almost an insult. I got a brain. I don't have it written down. I don't write. I don't write anything. Mm-hmm. I have an opinion, and mine was really simple. Look, till this country gets back to its moral obligation and we start loving one another and stop this hatefulness, we're not going to get any better. That's and right. It's just going to continue like it is. I can't believe in 2020, we still have this division. Mm-hmm. It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting in our politics, in our races, race being color. Mm-hmm. I am still shocked that we're dealing with this stuff.
Yeah,
it blows my mind. I mean, I told Tammy this morning, I'm starting to sweat. I said, I should run for president. I'll run on the love ticket. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to bring everybody together and we're going to love everybody. And if you're a mean, nasty person and your morals suck and you're not kind to people, you know what? I'm going to lock your ass up.
Damn right.
I mean, we got to get back to just caring about people.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how we have gotten to have so much hatred. And we've got somehow or another, And I hope the movement does it. I hope it straightens it out. It's going to take a while, but they can't give up on it.
Yeah, I like what you said. Like, just keep going. Like, at least don't just do, okay, a couple games of a few things and then forget about it. Because then you're not continuing on with the movement that you want, you know? And so I thought
the commissioner handled it. Retrospective, it's easy to react as opposed to lead. And he's being led by 32 powerful owners, none of which are black. One's, what do you call the guy down at Shotgun Can?
Yeah, kind of Jacksonville, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, you know what, though? You're going to get a lot of laughs if you watch the Bradshaw Bunch on E! Thursdays. So excited, 9 p.m. Thank you so much, Terry and Tammy, for coming on.
Thank you for your time.
Are a joy, and we're so excited to watch. Yeah.
Come visit. We'll go horseback riding.
My daughter, our 4-year-old daughter loves horseback riding.
I do that all the time. I do it all the time. You know, on my ranch, I love where I live. We live. Uh-huh. I don't mean any harm by it.
Maybe I can come with you and your daughter, honey, and ride horses with
Perfect, honey. That would be great. Yeah. Love you guys so much. Okay.
We'll come back on. We've enjoyed this.
Love it. Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Appreciate you.
Oh, my gosh. I love them.
They are awesome.
I started to sweat with that one question. I was just, like, trying to, like, you know, get all the questions in.
No, I love it. And I could sit there and talk to them. They feel like a spirited bunch. And I'm definitely going to tune into their show because I want to see what it's all about. So I hope everyone gives it a shot because, especially you guys out there, there's not a guy that doesn't like Terry.
No.
So, I mean, it's, so you know, fun. We got to tune in and give it a shot because I think it's going to be awesome.
Go Steelers. you guys, this is a fun show. I think we can't get any better than Terry. So, no. Love you guys. And please go out and get our book, The Good Fight. And don't forget to get tickets for Unwine, our live event that we're doing October 5th. Get your tickets at TIXR.com. Love you guys so much. And we'll wind down next week.
Later.